Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Wednesday, December 7th. Today, we're talking with Colorado Sun business reporter Tamara Chung about a new paid family leave program and how it will roll out in 2023 and 2024. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Pinnacle Assurance. Pinnacle underpins Colorado's booming economy with a different kind of workers' compensation insurance, one that puts care at the center of their coverage. Pinnacle has helped thousands of Colorado workers stay safer on the job through expert safety training. Learn more at pinnacle.com. They put care to work. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this day in 1908, using authority bestowed by the U.S. Congress through the Antiquities Act 2 years earlier, President Teddy Roosevelt declared Colorado's first national monument high in the San Juan Mountains of Mineral County. Wheeler National Monument, named for Lieutenant George Wheeler, who surveyed the area in 1874, consisted of 300 acres of geologic wonder. Spires of yellow and white stone stretched through the thin air toward the skies, and the area proved popular with visitors. Roosevelt's designation was expected to foster tourism, both for the natural landscape and for its haunting proximity to where John Fremont's 1848 expedition became stuck in the snow. Locals compared the vista at Wheeler to national parks like Yellowstone or the Grand Canyon, albeit on a much smaller scale. But by the 1940s, annual visitors to the isolated geologic marvel numbered only in the dozens, and Congress decided to decommission the site in 1950. Before we continue, a quick message. Want to support visual journalism at the Colorado Sun? Here's how. The Colorado Sun's photographer, Olivia Sun, is a Report for America Corps member. Report for America is a nonprofit organization that helps place talented journalists in local newsrooms, and your support helps make their work possible. Help Olivia and the rest of the team by visiting coloradosun.com/RFA today. Next, our feature story.
Welcome back to the Daily Sun Up Podcast, Colorado. I'm Carol Wood, guiding you through today's conversation, and I'm grateful to be here with you and with the Colorado Sun's business reporter, Tamara. Hey, Tamara.
Hey, Carol.
Thanks for swinging by. So let's talk a little bit about the new rules for Colorado workers and employers that starts next month, January 2023. That's part of the new paid family leave law. You wrote a little bit about that in the Saturday What's Working column, and I thought that our listeners might love an explainer.
Yeah, no, I think we've been covering this for years at the Colorado Sun because this started out as, you know, a bill at the State House, and it just didn't pass. It got reconfigured. It still didn't pass. Got turned into sort of like a planning document. But ultimately, it became a proposition. Voters voted on it in 2020, I believe. And now the rules have been set. And while it does sound like it starts January 1st, there's two parts of it starting up. And I can go over that. But the quick overview is basically Colorado workers who are covered by their employers, which means, you know, employers are paying a payroll tax on them, they're going to be able to get up to 12 weeks of paid leave. It could be family leave, you know, to take care of a new baby, a loved one who's sick, yourself, and a few other reasons. But 12 weeks of paid time off starting in 2024.
Right. And is it correct, like the employer portion starts in 2023, employee portion in 2024, is that right?
No, actually both, yes, both start in 2023. So in order for benefits to be paid out in 2024, we need to raise a bunch of money. And that money is going to come out of, you know, employee paychecks and employer payrolls. And while an employer can opt to cover like 0.9%, so less than 1% of a person's salary, employers can opt to cover that, but they can also split it and share the cost with the employee. So most likely employers will pay half, the employee will pay half, and within the year or in 2024, mm-hmm. people can start requesting leave.
Got it. So the fund builds next year.
Yes.
Okay. So Tamara, are there any exemptions to this? Companies of certain sizes?
Yeah, so every company that is part of the Colorado employment system must participate if they have 10 or more employees. This is kind of strange because this includes, like, if you have one employee in Colorado and 9 employees outside of Colorado, you still have to participate as a company. But if you have 9 people or fewer, you don't have to participate, but you can, because if you do, then you can offer this benefit to your workers. So the pro side has long supported this because it's considered, you know, it's a way to attract more workers. And, you know, if you're paying attention to labor and jobs in Colorado, you know, for years, it's been hard to find enough workers in certain industries.
And as I recall, during in that 2020 election, there were quite a few business groups that opposed the law. Has that shifted any? Is there any more support from business groups?
I would say no. The main thing here is a lot of the business groups that opposed this, which included the Colorado Chamber of Commerce, the NFIB, which is, they represent a lot of small businesses, and that's an acronym for the National Federation of Independent Businesses. They weren't keen on this, you know, partly because it adds another fee to payroll. This is on top of unemployment insurance, you know, obviously all the state and local taxes, you know, just other costs that employers have to pay. But, you know, the thing is, there are businesses who do support this. I heard from one organization called Good Business Colorado, and they are sort of a different organization that, you know, they believe in improving society, and, you know, they backed retirement for your employees, all sorts of things, but they also backed paid family leave.
Got it.
And they are thrilled to have this start.
Well, that's super interesting. And I'm pulled up and looking at Saturday's What's Working newsletter. And you again have a great chart in here on the price of this particular initiative or new law. And it kind of gives people an idea of, for a worker who earns $50,000 a year, what the employee's weekly payroll deduction would look like and an employer match, and kind of just walks one through those numbers. And what's really neat is you've got a calculator. Folks can click and calculate their own weekly payment or benefit using this online calculator.
Yeah, actually a lot, you know, this is directly from the state. I had asked the Department of Labor for this information, and they shared, based on someone who earns $50,000 a year, your weekly contribution will be $4.33. Over the year, that's $225.16. So that amount is doubled by the employer. And ultimately, so starting January 1st, 2024, if you need to take time off for family leave to take care of yourself or someone else, that same worker would get $750 a week for unpaid leave.
That's really interesting. And would they have to apply for that, or is it just automatic from their employer?
No, it's not automatic. They would have to apply for it. So the way this works, it's very much like unemployment insurance. The employer is responsible for taking that money out of every employee's paycheck and then submitting it to the state. But if that person is laid off, or, you know, starting in 2024, if they need family leave, that worker actually goes to the state and applies for unemployment or applies for family leave. So in many ways, you know, I sort of didn't realize that. And it sounds like, you know, this is, you know, employers help pay into the fund, but they don't have to worry about it while the worker is on family leave. And while the worker's on family leave, that employer also doesn't have to pay them. The employer just has to keep their insurance, their health insurance going if they already had it, and keep the job open. So at the end of 12 weeks, that person can return to their job. If you look at it this way, you know, it also means, you know, any savings the employer has because they don't have to pay that worker for 12 weeks, they could hire a temporary worker. You know, that's, there's pros and cons with that, because it's hard to find workers still, even though our economy is slowing. But, you know, these are all things that the people who are backed this bill and proposed it really, you know, the point is to help workers out there. And a lot of the people in the state don't have paid family leave. So people who are having a baby, for example. If they are at certain jobs, they essentially have to quit, or they could take, you know, the federal FMLA. They can take, I think it's up to 12 weeks off, but that's unpaid. So
interesting that, you know, the employer has to hold the job for that 12 weeks. And I think I read in your column, in your newsletter, that if there's a complication with pregnancy or childbirth, that can extend up to 16 weeks, from 12 weeks on up to 16 weeks. Is that right?
Yes. Well, yes.
Well, it will be interesting as you continue to follow this, you know, through.
And you know what? I just want to add one more thing to this. You know, I mentioned, or you had asked me about exempt employers. You know, that includes anyone with 9 or fewer employees, all federal government workers, but also companies that already have a private plan. They can be exempt too, but they need to apply to get their plan approved. And that portal just opened, and that's kind of what I wrote about on Saturday. So if you go to the Colorado Family and Medical Leave Program at the state, that's Family FAMLI.colorado.gov. Employers can start registering. And if you've got a private plan and you're trying to get that approved, it's going to cost you $500.
Really interesting. And you mentioned federal workers, that's exempt. And that's because federal employees have a different system for this, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for breaking it down. And I know that you, 2023, 2024, you'll continue to cover it and keep our readers and our listeners informed on this new act. So thank you, Tamara, for dropping by and explaining this to us. Thanks to everyone who helped produce today's podcast, including our production partners at Pirate Audio. And if anyone has questions or thoughts about the Daily Sunup podcast, we invite you to drop us an email at podcast@coloradosun.com. And have a wonderful day out there. And I sincerely hope that you can join us for the next Daily Sunup podcast.
Read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Officials at the University of Colorado Anschutz Medical Campus hope a new center will bring together world-class doctors to find new ways to detect esophageal and gastric cancers early. The new center was made possible by a $20 million gift from a local family. While esophageal and gastric cancers are not the most prevalent forms of cancer, they continue to have higher mortality rates. This year, roughly 21,000 people in the U.S. will be diagnosed with cancer of the esophagus, and another 26,000 will be diagnosed with stomach cancer. There will be about 16,000 deaths from esophageal cancer and 11,000 from gastric cancer. The 22-year-old accused of killing 5 people and wounding 17 others in a shooting last month at an LGBTQ nightclub is facing more than 300 charges. Anderson Aldrich was formally charged Tuesday in the November 19th attack at Club Q in Colorado Springs. Aldrich faces 305 counts, including multiple allegations of first-degree murder, attempted first-degree murder, assault, and hate crimes. Wearing lime green jail garb, Aldrich appeared in person in El Paso County District Court before Judge Michael McHenry. Aldrich was mostly silent during the 30-minute hearing. The suspect is next due in court February 22nd for a multi-day preliminary hearing. More than 70 candidates are jockeying to be Denver's next mayor or to fill one of 13 city council seats in the 2023 municipal election. Winners of the April 4th contests will be among the highest paid elected officials in the state. According to the Colorado Municipal League, some 70 cities and towns will ask voters to approve new or returning officials in 2023. It might seem early, but The Sun has put together a few notes on what to watch for as Denver's municipal election kicks into gear, as well as what other state elections to keep tabs on. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And The Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month. And if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our politics newsletter, The Unaffiliated, as well as our outdoors newsletter, The Outsider, and our new health and environment newsletter, The Temperature. All 3 exclusive newsletters delivered to your inbox every week.